Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell you, we are a well-oiled machine. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. We love it that you're with us. If you know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who are just, you know, just trying to get a handle on how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything at all. We're just out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are, but we are able to bring brilliant people into the studio and pick their brains and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation as well.
That is so true, and you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow, or you can hit us up on Twitter at TheMusicRowShow with your questions and comments. The conversation's starting right now.
Right now. Well, yeah, almost. Are you turned on to Facebook?
We're
already there? Because I haven't.
Well, you're a little slow.
I'm a little slow on this. Yeah. In case you haven't heard, Dish subscribers, you can now watch us on TV, too.
That's right.
Because Blue Highways TV Network is now on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us four times a week on Channel 73. That's Channel 73 on Dish.
Favorite channel.
And, you know, what's exciting for us is for the first time ever, right here in Nashville. We're just thrilled about that.
Yeah, we've been on TV for 3 years and nobody's really
not in Nashville. Yeah. Right. So anyway, we got a full show for you tonight. We've got award-winning hit country recording artist and pop recording artist Sylvia Hutton going to be joining us here in the first hour.
That's right. Then we're going to be talking with hit songwriter and founding member of Trick Pony.
Yeah.
Keith Burns.
Sweet.
In hour two.
All right, Scott, let's get to it. Why don't you do the honors here?
Absolutely. As our regular listeners know, because we talk every week for a couple hours.
Right, right.
Our wives, beautiful and smart and supportive as they are.
Talented.
Could not be any less stuff. Impressed with the fact that Hino and I have had a radio and TV show around the country for
That's
the last
a fair statement.
8 years. They just don't care.
Yeah.
But that all changed this week when we booked tonight's guest. And I should say, thanks to our pal Bobby Tomberlin,
yes,
who is listening. So we love you, Bobby. Thank you. But finally, since Sylvia's here,
yeah,
my wife is impressed. Her huge country pop crossover hit, Nobody, was just one of her many number one and top 10 hits that earned her the BMI Song of the Year, ACM Female Vocalist of the Year. She followed in Jan Howard's unique career plan, if I'm not mistaken, because they were both secretaries of Tom Collins and then became big stars.
That's
so
pretty awesome.
It's brilliant. We are excited to have her in the studio. It's a pleasure to say, Sylvia Hutton, we're glad you're here and welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you.
Yay.
Good to be here. Yeah. I'm very honored. And I hate to correct you, but it was Janie Fricke who was the other secretary.
Oh, I see. What? Jan Howard?
Yeah.
Janie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, I wanted to set the record straight.
I need
there.
To fire my research person again. Again, you're fired.
I am so happy right now.
Isn't that nice? It's usually him. It's usually him that says the,
I'm feeling really good.
I just didn't want Janie to feel bad.
No, yeah. No. Sorry, Janie.
I actually kind of succeeded her. She went on, she got a deal with Columbia Records at that time, and then I came and answered the phone at Pie Gym and Chess Music right after her.
Look at that. Well, you know, it's funny because we've had Jan Howard on, and I've read her book, and I never saw any mention of that. So I was going, really? Is that? Yeah, I should have. Shame on me.
No big deal.
Shame on me.
Well, Sylvia, I've heard you say that you've had a long love relationship with sound in general. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that? Was it music or just any sound?
My mother tells the story of when I was in the crib, she would come in the morning and I would be just laying there humming. I didn't wake
humming.
Up and cry. I would just was making humming sounds
wow.
in the crib. So I think I've been singing before I could talk. I just always was singing.
Yeah.
You know, it just was so much a part of my life, and it was a very natural thing for me to grow up thinking, well, someday when I am an adult, I'm going to be a singer.
But were you fascinated with sounds just like in nature and in different rhythms and stuff?
One of my first memories, actually, is we'd make trips down from Kokomo, Indiana, where I was born and raised, to my grandparents' house near Lafayette, Tennessee in Macon County.
Ah.
And being on the road, you know, so you can imagine in the late 50s, early 60s, through the 60s, you're hearing the tires on the pavement, and they make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hum along with it and harmonize with it and make melodies around it. And it was like, you know, singing to a drone, you know, and I've done that my whole life, just with the washing machine or a fan or anything is making a hair dryer. When I'm blow drying my hair, I want to sing because it's actually at a frequency. It's got a, you know, you can tell what key it's in, and you can just sing along. So it's just a natural thing.
I love that.
You know, in elementary school, in gym,
yeah,
we used to have to run, you know, run around the track or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was running and. And I was thinking, well, that's kind of a cool sound. And so I'm running. I'm like, kind of doing this song in my head. And the girl that was running next to me was like, what's wrong with you? Are you having an asthma attack? No, I'm fine. Leave me alone. So, but speaking of school, you were super, super shy in school.
Yes, I was.
Pretty introverted. And
It was partly that I was shy, partly that I just had my sights set on a career in music and not really wanting to put down too many roots in Kokomo because I wanted to move from there to here and get my start in music. So it was really single-mindedness. But I did kind of have to overcome some shyness. I remember having a talk with myself in a car one day by myself saying, okay, if you're going to convince people that you can get a recording contract and have hit records, you're going to have to be able to speak to people.
Right.
You
yeah.
You gotta get this, you know, get this fear of talking to people out, you know, out in the open and just face and confront this fear.
So it was talking to people rather than being up on stage in front of a crowd.
That was the first step.
Yeah.
Just talking to people because I was pretty shy.
Okay.
And, but my love of singing and the passion for singing definitely it won.
It melted away once you got in front of a crowd.
Well, you know, I moved to town and I was knocking on doors cold.
Immediately,
people,
really.
You know, and meeting people. And so that was a little scary. But, you know, after a while, you kind of say, okay, I can do this and gain confidence. You know, that's the way of life.
Well, I'd heard you say that you had a pretty strict upbringing and you were single-minded or mm-hmm. kind of shy. So just to come here at such a young age, it sounds like your parents were still very supportive of that.
Yeah, they were, and so I moved here with a little green Ford Maverick, and I had enough money in the bank to pay the next month's rent, and got all set up, and then it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this thing, and I did. You know, mm-hmm. it was really, and you know, we all no one does anything without support, and so I had that little boost right there in the beginning, but I think people that knew me knew that I was going to do this. You know, I was going to make my way somehow in the music industry because I had dreamed about it every day of my life from the time I was about 3 years old. So,
wow.
So then talk about, you said your dream was to come here. So talk about when you finally decided to come here and what was that like and the actual decision to make the move and then what you found when you got here.
Well, I, you know, made the decision early on in life. So in high school, I was preparing, you know, I figured I'd get a job somewhere as a secretary, which
okay.
I did at a music publishing company, and interned basically mm-hmm. for 4.5 years while I got experience singing demos for songwriters, and kind of the typical thing when people come to Nashville, that, you know, people watch the TV show.
Sure. It's just like
it's just like a TV show, right?
No, it's not like that. But some aspects are somewhat like
right.
that, in that you come here and meet people and get experience and hopefully get better at what you do so you can, you know, my sense was that these are my people. You know,
right.
I want to get to know my people because I plan to be in music for all of my adult life. At that time, I figured that's the only thing I would ever do. But mm-hmm. You grow up and you realize, oh, you can do other things too. Like I've been working in the last 16 years as a career coach mm-hmm. and call myself a personal development coach because that's really what it's about, helping people grow into who they are, grow into their voice. Not only as I often work with musicians and singers, but I probably more than that, I work with people that are in small businesses or nonprofit agencies or executives working in large corporations. There's a whole gamut of people that I work with. So finding your voice is become more to me than just about singing, but it's certainly still about singing because I will always love to sing.
That's great. Well, listen, we need to take a break. We'd like to remind everybody that this segment was brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs. Both Hino and I are Toyota drivers, and I tell you, in town, it's one of my favorite dealerships.
They're
just great guys there.
I mean, not only do they have unlimited, they've got a warranty that's unlimited time and miles on every vehicle, and a 3-day return policy. And my favorite thing is that they're just so relaxed and low key. You know, on a lot of dealerships, you walk in there, you feel like you're getting attacked when you step one foot out of the parking lot. And these guys are not like that at all.
Hey, buddy, what can I sell you today?
Yeah, so these guys are not like that. It's very low key, and they're really great guys. You should go see him, check out the dealership, and ask for George. He's the owner, and he'll take great care of you.
That's right. ToyotaofCoolSprings.com. That's ToyotaofCoolSprings.com. We're going to be right back with more of Sylvia here on the Music Row Show.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Nobody. Great song by our guest here this hour, Sylvia.
I love the write-up on this, on all the... Nobody won the BMI Song of the World, Song of the Year Award. Nobody did?
Yeah, that's nobody. Right. Nobody did.
Just
nobody.
Nobody
did that year.
Wow. So, you know, since I just introduced you with just Sylvia, talk about that decision and just to go with the one name thing, you know, like Cher and Elvis.
It was totally a spontaneous decision.
Yeah.
And one of the very first, maybe the first meeting at RCA Records when I was signed with the label, my maiden name was Kirby.
Okay.
My last name at the time was Allen. And there was Deborah Allen, who was also recording for RCA.
Right,
so
right.
That I couldn't use Allen. And Kirby, when I said, well, we could use Kirby, and they said, well, it sounds kind of domestic.
Domestic?
Like a vacuum cleaner or something. And they didn't like that idea. And so I knew that the next thing was going to be, let's come up with a new name for Sylvia. And I just spontaneously said, why don't we just use my first name? Because nobody else in country music is named Sylvia. And they said, okay.
It was that quick. Wow.
No thought went into it whatsoever.
Wow.
Well, when you came into town, if I heard all this correctly, and even growing up, you were really a huge student of Patsy Cline and a huge fan of hers, which listening to Nobody, if that's, you know, that being my introduction to you, I was really surprised. I really didn't hear much. But then when you listen to Drifter or You Don't Miss a Thing, you hear those lifts. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, she really, I mean, that absolutely is Patsy-esque. What was the challenge in finding your own sound and style when you came into town, or was there one?
Oh, definitely there was one. But I think every singer goes through a period where they imitate. You imitate. That's how. That's one of the ways you learn your craft. At some point, you need to depart from that, or you just sound like everybody else.
So right. How did you know when it was time?
Well, I had a meeting, just an impromptu meeting with a producer on the row who listened to a tape of mine that was Patsy Cline songs, and he turned his back to me, put it on the tape, and played about, you know, not even 30 seconds of it, turned the tape off, turned back around in his swivel chair, and looked at me and says, you know, we've already had a Patsy Cline. You know what we need? We need a Sylvia. And it really made quite the impression on me. It was just like a wake up. It was like, well, of course, you know, trying to sing like someone else that you idolize, as far as you love their voice, you love how they sing, you love everything. I mean, I knew every Patsy Cline song, where she took a breath, where she sobbed, where she, when I'm just so into Patsy Cline. But I realized at that point, it's like, well, okay, what's my voice? And that really, that's my life journey, finding my own voice. And not trying to be something I'm not, but trying to find out what is my voice. That's when you strip away. And part of, I think, finding my voice for me has been a deepening of that in learning to write songs over the years. And when you are singing a song that you've never heard anyone else sing, you're singing it in your voice, basically. And then you can deepen in that for many years to come. But that theme of finding your voice is a powerful one to me. It's about, you know, taking the gifts that we've been given and honing those and being more and more and more who you are through what you do, through your creativity.
It's funny because that is such a indescribable, kind of an indefinable thing, your voice. But you know it when you find it, I guess. You know, and to somebody not in music, it's kind of hard to explain to them what that means. What does that mean, your voice?
Finding your voice is your voice. Every moment you have a different voice. As my voice teacher, Gerald Arthur, will say, you know, I see him every Wednesday at 11:30 for 28 years. Okay. And so every week I show up and sing, and sometimes early on in those years I would be very frustrated because last week I was singing like a bird. What happened? This week I can't really, I feel I'm all out of whack. What's going on? And he'll say, okay, well, what happened between last week and this week? And I'll say, well, this happened and this happened. And I would talk about it for about 3 minutes. And then he would say, okay, now sing. And then I would be back in my voice. And I said, well, what happened? And we would talk. It's like, well, you just brought your voice up to date. You know, sometimes we try to sing like we sang last week or last year. And we don't want to move forward. We think there's some perfect way to use our voice. But no, our voice is constantly unfolding and becoming new again, but we sometimes fight with our voice and want it to sound like it sounded last month or some other time in our life.
Right.
And it's really a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
It's about being present with the voice that you have right now. Can you sing with the voice you have right now without fighting with it? That is the key.
But
key to life.
As a recording artist, though, isn't it kind of important to sound like what you were recorded as?
You can't help but sound yourself,
right?
Unless you're trying, you know. Otherwise, you're putting layers of what you think you ought to sound like on it.
Gotcha.
So you sound like you sound. We all have a unique voice print. I mean, that's just
true.
Like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
We all have a unique voice, but often we get stuck in the creative process of allowing ourselves to continue to unfold as creative beings, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge. I mean, you know, there's something in the human nature that says there's a right way to sing this song, and I got to figure out what that is and then park there.
Yeah.
But the minute you park there and say, I got to sing it like I sang it before, then it gets stale and lifeless.
Right.
So to sing in the voice you have right now, croaking and all, you know, sometimes that's where you are. So you just do.
Wow, I like that.
So that's my philosophy anyway. And it keeps me on my toes and keeps me present with what am I feeling right now as I sing the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be brand new again.
Well, the weirdest thing happened is a guy sitting next to you with a mandolin. I don't know where he came from.
Look at that guy.
But since he's here, if you would introduce him and then give us some of your voice that's present tonight.
Okay, well, thanks. This is my very, very good friend, John Mock. John and I have been playing music together for almost 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it? But we co-produce my records together, and I love to sing when John's playing.
Excellent. Well, what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song that's on my Where in the World CD that's actually available online at cdbaby.com/artist/Sylvia. And the CD's been out for a while, but since I don't get major airplay very often anymore, it's still pretty new. New to me. It's new in this moment to me, too. So this is a Leonard Cohen song that is a real favorite of mine. I just think he's one of the most amazing songwriters who's ever walked the earth. And very He must be a very deep man, and I bet he's somebody that's present when he sings his songs each time. So let's try it, John. Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knight from an old-fashioned book, I have saved all my ribbons for thee. And if I have been unkind, I hope that you just let it go by. Oh, let it all go by. If I have been untrue, I hope you know it was never to you. No, no. Oh, like a baby stillborn, like a beast with his horn, I have by this song, by all I have done wrong, I'll make it all up to you. Yes, I will, oh yes, I will. I saw a beggar leaning on his wooden crutch. He called out to me, hey, drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a couple little croaks in there. See, they come. Nah. In. You don't expect them, but it's okay. You make it work.
Sounded great to me. Now, you know, especially compared to a lot of other country music, your music definitely had a certain gloss to it, certain
yes.
pop kind of gloss to it. Was that a deliberate effort to try to get crossover type attention, or?
Not really. You know, the music that I was making at the time truly was a mix of my own musical. What I had been influenced by as a kid. And I was influenced by Patsy Cline, but sure. I was also influenced by Karen Carpenter and Diana Ross and, yeah. and all the yeah. people, all the people that were on the radio at the time. You know, I listened to all kinds of music. So
because I just found it amusing that when I went back and was just kind of reading some of the press and stuff that was going on back then, it was like a lot of what you hear now about, you know, oh, that's not country, and it's like, you know, everything's it's, country. It seems like, you know, it's like.
The same thing has been going on for decades.
They probably said yes, that about is. Patsy Cline at the time, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, what country music is definitely seems to be evolving and has been evolving all along.
Yeah.
And I agree. Even, you know, the people today say, well, what's on the radio on country radio today? That it doesn't sound all that country, but maybe our definition of country is changing, you know, and it's becoming more popular, like just what people... Music is always a reflection of the culture.
Right.
And probably the majority of people in our culture do not have a rural upbringing. Some of us do. Mm-hmm. I do. So I think in general, music is a reflection of that. And so there you go.
All right. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Sylvia here on the Music Row Show.
In my big old LTD, nothing but time and the road and me. On a week-long Sunday drive, little flashes of life go by. I saw denim shirts and cotton feet.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's
My
Watching
Wind
Life
Sheet.
With the Sound Turned Down. Great song by our guest here this hour, Sylvia.
I like that.
That's a great tune.
It is a fun song.
Yeah.
Written by Craig Bickhart.
Nice.
I like that a lot. Well, let's get another song out of you, and then we can chat a bit here in a few more minutes. But I'd love to hear another Sylvia song.
Okay, we can do that. This is a song that actually was written by Cheryl Wheeler, who's one of my favorite writers and singers and just comedian, actually. She's hilarious. Okay, but this song's not so hilarious. But yeah. So are we getting John on the guitar?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Wish I could fall in love, though it only leads to trouble, oh, I know it does. Still, I'd fool myself and gladly just to feel I was in love. Wish I could feel my heartbeat rise and gaze into some gentle, warm, excited eyes. And give myself as truly as an arrow flies in windless skies. Oh, but I remember you in the TV light, holding you close to me where we lay. And now I wish I knew some of those softer nights, whispering quietly, feeling you turn to me. Only last night in the winter dark, I dreamed of how you loved in all your innocence. And I've never known a softer, warmer feeling since, or a truer heart. Oh, but maybe these dreams are leading me. Maybe love is not as gentle as my memory. Maybe time and wishful half-remembered fantasy are the greatest part. Oh, but I remember you in the TV light, holding you close to me
where we lay. And now I wish I knew some of those softer nights, whispering quietly, feeling you turn to me. Wish I could feel my heart beat rise and gaze into some gentle, warm, excited eyes and give myself as truly as an arrow flies in windless skies. I wish I could fall in love, though it only leads to trouble, oh, I know it does. Still, I'd fool myself and gladly just to feel I was in love.
Wow. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Wow.
Woo. Beautiful.
Okay.
That was some great playing, too, John.
No, that whole thing, that was just gorgeous. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about Sylvia, the songwriter.
Yeah.
And we got lots to talk about and little time to do it. So you're listening to The Music Grow Show. We'll be right back.
Bus stop one day, he's there, I say, please share my bus stop, bus goes, he stays, love grows under my umbrella.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Sylvia, and that's her version of a great song called Bus Stop. Love that song. Yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about Sylvia, the songwriter. And you were just telling us you had quite a great education in songwriting when you were working for Tom Collins.
Yes, I did. I just had the great fortune of basically being an intern at one of the hottest publishing companies in Nashville at that time in the late 70s and into the early 80s. Mm-hmm. Kai Fleming, Dennis Morgan, John Schwerz, Kent Robbins, Dean Dillon. I mean, these are people that were coming in every day and they'd sit down and I was answering the phone and making the coffee and vacuuming the floors. And these songwriters that come in, Dean would come in or Kent would come in, hey, let me play you my new song. And I would hear it before Tom Collins would hear it.
Oh, wow.
And after I would say, I'd say, you know, I don't think he's going to like that second verse. I think he's going to. I even became my own critic. You know, I was like, they would say, oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to work on that. So, no, I'm kidding.
Wow.
But I really was privy to really some of the finest songwriting going down at the time. And I feel like I learned a lot. Even though I wasn't writing songs at the time, I learned a lot about how great songs are structured and what makes a song.
How did you learn
great.
That?
I was typing the songs into the database.
Okay.
On an old Selectric, IBM Selectric.
All the
typewriter.
Lyrics.
So I was. That was part of my job, was to type all the lyrics into the database.
So you're seeing them.
I'm seeing them. I'm looking at the structure of songs day after day after day after day. And, of course, I'm loving to sing, and I'm hearing them come in and sing them firsthand, and I'm learning them, you know, maybe sometimes getting to go back and sing in a harmony on one of the demos or whatever. And so it was a great education.
So you didn't have to hide the fact that you wanted to sing there?
No, I didn't.
That's awesome.
No. In fact, after I'd worked there about 3 years, it became very obvious that I was really going for a deal, and Jerry Bradley at RCA Records heard me sing at an audition and asked Tom Collins actually to record some sides on me, say, like, you know, record some things with her and bring them back and play them for me and we might consider signing her. And then another year and a half goes by where I'm saying, come on, and then we finally did go in the studio and record some songs of these great writers, Kai and Dennis and others, and got the deal.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so all these folks that say they really ended up pitching you songs too.
Yes, they did. Oh, and wonderful. I would say, okay, that one's mine. I want that one. Don't you let Tom record that with Barbara Mandrell.
Do not give that to Barbara.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't have much say so at that point, but I feel very, very lucky that I got to hang around with some of the greatest songwriters.
Really. But you really started cultivating your own writing later on.
Later on.
Talk
yes.
about that.
I feel like in some ways I didn't really learn how to sing a song from the inside out until I started writing songs later.
What do you mean by that?
Because when you write a song yourself, you've never heard anyone else sing it. So you find it's a kind of a beautiful way of finding your own way with a song when you write it yourself. And then there's an experience it's hard to even articulate, that when you go back and you try to understand the motivation for another song written by somebody else, like Kai and Dennis, it's like, how do I get into that? And from the level of where that song was born from, there's a freshness and aliveness from that place. And it's one of the reasons I love to go out in Nashville and hear the songwriters themselves sing the songs that you hear on the radio, because there's often, to me, they feel even more alive because they're coming from that birthplace where it's different. Not that the songs on the radio aren't wonderful, but it's just a different experience of the song. You hear another dimension of its personality, so to speak. It's really pretty fascinating.
Wow, that is fascinating. Well, you mentioned earlier on that you do a lot of coaching with folks, and I'm just curious, what are the types of things that songwriters and artists need to be coached on to help them succeed?
Well, someone that would come to see me would probably, it could be many, many, many things, but you know, in this business, it's very easy to get off of your own soul track. You know, what brought you to Nashville, why you love to sing, why you love to write, why you love to play music, because you often get into the whirlwind of the way it already is, and you got to be like it already is so that you can make a living in this business, so that you can get the sessions, so that you can get your songs recorded, blah, blah, blah. So there's this giant pull to keep creating what's already been created. Do it again, kind of like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And so it can be real stifling to creativity. And I find that a lot of writers and singers can kind of in secret feel a little frustrated that there's something else they want to create, but they feel like you've got to create what radio wants or what the producer wants or what other people, what the audience wants. And before you know it, you wake up a few years down the road and you go, what am I doing? You know, I just feel like I'm a jukebox. I'm not really, you know, and so that could be one angle, you know, and it could be many, many things. But I find keeping in touch with your own voice, what it is you want to do, why you want to do it, and keep it in touch with the joy of it, the joy of making music. And and you know, a lot of the very, very successful people are obviously doing that. You can see it. You can tell when they sing, they are loving what they're doing.
Right.
And I think that's the aim of any artist or writer or musician, is you want to stay plugged in to what brought you to the dance, you know?
Nice.
Wow. Well, I love that we got to spend an hour visiting with you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, you are so welcome. This is fun.
And nice. And you have to come back. We've already decided this because
we
have so
much
more.
Now, where can people buy your music?
They can buy it online at cdbaby.com.
Great.
/artist/Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A.
And all your website?
And you can go to my website for coaching. It's sylviahutton.net.
All right. Easy enough to remember.
Sylviahutton.net.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We've got another great hour of the show coming up. We've got one of the founders of Trick Pony here with us. Keith Burns is going to be joining us. Great songwriter, great recording artist. So you're going to definitely want to stick around for that. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.